Evelyn Margaret, what a cool thing. Yes, come on. I love baptism. Baptism's pretty amazing. I'm going to talk in a minute about Jesus' baptism and why we're doing this weird today, but before I do that, I have to ask the great existential question of the day. They did get the answer correct at 9:29, just so you know, so no pressure. But this has been talked about in the sports pages and on ESPN, and I heard it on the radio. I've heard it at Starbucks. I heard it just yesterday at the locker room at Lifetime. And here's the great existential question of the day. Who is the greatest basketball player of all, LeBron or Michael? You got it right. Thank you. Those of you that said LeBron, you too can be forgiven and healed. God bless you. So we have a little fun with that. And the reason that Michael is probably the name you'd hear here, but maybe not if you went to that other town that the other guy plays in, is because this is Michael's hometown. Well, that gets us into the story for today because Jesus is showing up in his hometown. This is Nazareth. This is a synagogue service that he's been in hundreds of times. This is his hometown congregation. Only now he's 30 years old, and people are wondering, what's he going to do with his life? And so he's sitting in the service that day, and they get to the part in the service where the scripture is going to be read, and they hand him the scroll. And he reads these words. Let me read them again, only this time let me read them from Isaiah, who wrote them 700 years before Jesus was born. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Jesus reads that and then sits down, but not before he says, today. These ancient words are fulfilled in your hearing. And in so doing, he takes the entire story of God's grace from Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden and Genesis all the way up to Malachi, the end of the Old Testament. He takes all of those promises and wraps himself in the promises of God to one day send a Messiah. And Jesus says, it's on. I'm here. The only rightful king of the only kingdom that matters is in the house. Whoa. It's pretty amazing. Just prior to that, Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, who's about 6 months older to him, who had left the establishment religion in Jerusalem and was down by the Jordan calling people to repentance and baptizing, Jesus shows up at the Jordan River and is baptized. And as he's coming up out of the waters of baptism, he hears a voice say, "This is my beloved son, and I am well pleased with him." That's not a bad how do you do. This is my son. Listen to him. And that would be a mountaintop experience to hear God say that, but it's immediately after that that the scripture says, and the Spirit of God drove Jesus into the desert, into the wilderness. Have you ever been at the top of your spiritual game, at the top of your joy-filled life, and all of a sudden things change? And you find yourself in the desert. Well, Jesus found himself in the desert to be tempted by Satan. And Satan asks him these questions. Make bread out of stones. Worship me. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Cast yourself down from this temple. God will take care of you. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. The word of God says that there's more to it than that. I have to stay faithful. And so he comes out of the desert of his testing and walks into the synagogue. and speaks those words from Isaiah and essentially says, this is me. This is my calling. 700 years you've been waiting, and I'm the one. And it says, all spoke well of him, were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips, and they said, isn't this Joseph's son? Hey, we know him since he was a little boy. What's he talking about? And then Jesus reminds them of the whole story of God's storyboard, the one that we've been in the last 7 or 8 months. And he says, time and time and time and time again, God has called you to faithfulness, and time again, you've walked away from faithfulness. And so God is now kicking open the doors to the kingdom, and I'm coming to the house of Israel, but I'm bringing salvation and freedom to the Gentiles as well. I'm opening it up to the world. And people get mad, and he runs out of town. Sometimes that's what happens when you go to your hometown. Things can turn just like that. And so last night I had the opportunity to teach on this, and I did it a little bit more extensively. If you want to hear some of those thoughts on the deeper stuff going on in Jesus' baptism and his wilderness testing, and in this scene from the synagogue, you can go online and you can see it on video, hear it on audio, and it should be available right now. But right now I just want to focus on a couple insights from this synagogue scene. What Jesus reads and what Jesus says is his manifesto, his calling, is good news because he's there to bring shalom, to bring the peace and the purpose of God back to the world, to let the world thrive in his name. And every one of these categories, the poor, prisoners, the blind, the oppressed, are economic categories, legal categories, physical categories, political categories, relational categories, religious categories. Jesus is here saying, there's not a domain of your life that I don't care about. And wherever you're bound up, I'm here to bring freedom. I'm here to bring freedom, true freedom from the inside out. Jesus is here to bring freedom from sin and all of its social, material, spiritual effects in our lives because it's this acid that destroys everything in its wake. So Jesus is called by God, commissioned by the Holy Spirit, and then charged with the mission. And he goes out to fulfill that mission, and all of you are called into that same kingdom, the kingdom of righteousness. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom, and all the rest will be added to you. And that is the shortest message you will ever hear me teach. Because today we're not just going to talk about what Jesus did. We're going to do what Jesus did. We're going to offer a time of prayer and some other things that are coming up in a minute. Right now, let's sing, Jesus, heal this land.
We sing together.
You take her lies, flawed yet beautiful, restore, refine. New wine.
Jesus said he comes to bring good news. I hear a lot of bad news. Has anybody in here heard any bad news in the last few days, weeks? Maybe on a personal level, maybe on a global level, or somewhere in between. There's bad news in the world. So if Jesus comes to bring good news, then we ought to be about that business. One of our core values says that prayer is intentional. You have to be intentional. You have to think about it and do it and make it happen. So we're going to take just a couple minutes right now as a congregation to pray. And I'm going to lead you in some guided prayer through a few different areas that I think will suggest some things to your heart, your mind, your soul. And there's going to be a response up on the screen. I'm going to pray in Jesus' name, we intercede for. And then I'll raise my hand, and after each section, you can respond with, in accordance with your will, Lord, hear our prayer. Would you just bow your heads, and if it's helpful to you, fold your hands, whatever is a way for you to get into the moment of prayer, go ahead and let's pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, I want to pray for our families. We walk in this place with stories, with brokenness, with hurt, with worries and concerns, with fears, sometimes with joy and with hope. Lord, I pray for our families that we will love each other, that it start with us, husbands and wives that love one another, parents and kids that love one another, families that love ripples throughout the extended relationships of grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, that love, that we honor one another. Lord, specifically in those families that need reconciliation, people need to be brought back together. There's estrangement, there's hurt, there's brokenness. Bring reconciliation to those families that need an intervention. Families struggling with perhaps mental health issues. And they need to get past the shame and the guilt and reach out for help. For families struggling with addictions, Lord, we pray that your Spirit intervenes. And for those families that walk in today thanking you for the goodness that you've given in their lives, we thank you. In Jesus' name, we intercede and pray for these families.
In accordance with your will, Lord.
Lord, today on this Memorial Day, we pray in our community for those families that are remembering a loved one who was lost, for those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. We thank you for their love, for their heart, for their service. Lord, in our community, we also pray for those first responders, police and fire and medical and people who go to the front lines of darkness and the front lines of hurt and pain. Lord, for our schools, our teachers, our administrators, and people who work in education, we pray those bright places of learning can sometimes turn dark. And we pray special blessing of joy and peace for our schools. Lord, for our local government officials, those who serve in county and municipal and city and village, areas where sometimes they deal with the mundane of new streets and sometimes they deal with the deep hurt of heroin and drugs and everything in between. Give them wisdom. And Lord, for our brothers and sisters to the east in Chicago, that's become known for violence after violence. How can we help, Lord? Show us, Lord. Lord, for these things in Jesus' name, we intercede.
In accordance with your will, Lord. Hear our prayer.
And Lord, specifically for this church, for other faith communities, but specifically here at Good Shepherd, we pray for our ministries, for the hundreds of leaders and thousands of servants and volunteers who do everything from fill communion cups and sweep floors to go to Africa and Honduras and Guatemala and rebuild houses in Aurora and feed the children and teach in Sparks and student ministries and everything in between, Lord. For our upcoming annual meeting where we get the joy of finding out where you're leading us into the next year of our lives, Lord, we lift up Good Shepherd. Let us be a place where grace rings true, where mercy is felt, where healing and hope are experienced. In Jesus' name. Lord, for our nation is sometimes a great place, but for many it's not. For those who experience the hurt of injustice, for those who fall through the cracks of inequality, for those who are marginalized and their voices are not heard, we pray, Lord, show us, help us to see where the hurt needs our help. For our government, for people who serve in Congress, in the court system, and for the White House, for the staff, for the president, Lord, no matter who we are, no matter what we think of all of those leaders, your word says to pray for all those in power and authority. And so we pray, Lord, for our government. Lord, in Jesus' name, we lift these up. And Lord, we come before you with a world that is broken. 160, 170 nations, wars in dozens of places, violence in the name of religion and in the name of ethnicity and politics. Lord, for those families who've lost loved ones, most recently in Manchester, England, and 26 families in Egypt who have experienced the heartache of loss. And those are just the most recent ones that are at the top of the headlines. Lord, for the oppressed throughout the world who can't even get clean water. And there are millions of them in Africa, Asia, Latin America. Without water, without food, without education. For those without a voice, more people in the sex trafficking and slave trade today than any time in history. For world leaders struggling to get past their own brokenness and sometimes arrogance. And Lord, for the peacemakers who in your name are throughout the globe as missionaries and teachers and educators and people who are bringing hope tangibly through medicine and food and water. And Lord, for us, that you teach us to love our enemies, to love those who persecute us, to love those who are different than us. Lord, for all of these things in our world, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sing this.
So God, we pray to you, humble ourselves again. Lord, would you hear our cry? Lord, will you heal our land? That every eye will see, that every heart will know, the one who took our sin, the one who died.
Sing that again. So God, we pray.
So God, we pray to you, humble ourselves again.
Yeah.
create of your heart in me, O God, renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Give me the joy that comes from your salvation. Make me willing to obey. Sing that from our hearts. I pray to God. To your ears, Lord. Create a pure heart in me, O God, renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Give me the joy from your salvation. Make me willing to obey.
It's the willing to obey part that's hard for me. Because as we're praying through all those global categories, I have to remember that sometimes it comes down to me. That I'm the problem. Those words in that song are from Psalm 51, when David is confronted with the issue and realizes, it's me. I need change. I need to confess that I haven't contributed to the answer in any of these areas. And so as we move through this service and prepare for the table that Greg will lead us to in a few minutes, it's just a good thing to come before God and open up your heart. And let's pray together. We have a prayer that we're going to pray together. It's a prayer of confession. Pray with me. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all my sins. I have lived as if you do not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those who I have hurt, and there are those who I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. Take a minute just in your chairs to lift up whatever prayer is personal to you in a moment of reflection before God. Sorry for this, Lord, and I ask for your grace. Amen.
Create up your heart in me, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Give me the joy that comes from your salvation. Make me willing to obey.
We have a God who feeds us and brings us strength.